The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, in studio once again with my buddy David Niles.
Hey.
Dave, I'm so glad we're going with round three. Ding, ding.
Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm. So listen, if you have not been enjoying the last two The Catholic Man Shows, this one is going to be for you.
It's got to be.
It's got to be.
Right?
This is the third one.
Good things come in threes.
That's right. And so we're here today, once again, Thursday, 7 p.m., The Catholic Man Show.
That's what time it is right now.
That's what time it is right now. And that's what time you can tune in every time to listen to us, The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles.
That's right.
You can listen to us on what, Dave?
102.9 in Broken Arrow, or 94.9 in Tulsa, or online at stmichaelradio.com.
Yep. Or even our app.
Yeah,
don't forget about our app.
I should not have done that. I'm sorry.
Dude, we just got a new update on our app, and we pushed it through. So if you just got our app, make sure you got the new update, because it now is seamless on streaming.
Yeah.
And gives you all of our blogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I'm only the president.
you don't get tied up in the mundane thing. So we're so glad that you tuned in again, guys. We thank you for the awesome feedback that we've had so far on our subpar shows that we've done.
Yeah, so when the first episode was getting ready to air, people were coming up to me saying, "Hey, I'm going to listen to The Man Show." And I had this sensation come over me, and it was a new experience, and just this wave of nervousness. And I wanted to tell them, like, you are? You're gonna be? No, it's okay. No, don't worry about it. You don't need to listen.
Don't listen to it.
No, it's fine. You won't. So I guess I was just a little bit more self-conscious about the show than I realized. But
especially once it finally got on air, that's when it hit me. The night that it aired for the first time, I realized.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And we actually got a couple people who were listening and replied to our Facebook. By the way, go to our Facebook page, type in The Catholic Man Show. We're also on Twitter. But we had feedback, and so it was really crazy to listen to people actually saying, "Hey, we're listening live right now." And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is very surreal. So this is a new show. If you can't tell already by...
we've never done a show
we've
before.
We've never done a show before. We're novices. But...
Please pray for us.
Please pray for us.
Especially Adam.
Yes.
Man, he needs your prayers.
Yes, I do.
Like, you don't even know.
You're so right on so many levels. So this is The Catholic Man Show. What we do every episode of The Catholic Man Show, we do three things. We break the show into three parts. First part.
Really, we do four if you want to count flexing our muscles as the fourth thing, because we do that.
Yeah. Whoa. Speaking of, we have not even given the warning out.
Dude, we've got to be more responsible.
I mean, we're getting almost 4 minutes into the show without even our warning. Dave, hit it up.
So, the warning is, and this is serious. So, if you're laughing right now, stop it, because we're being serious. If you're susceptible to high levels of manliness, I kid you not, this show will be harmful to your health. So, if you're one of those people, I don't know, like, consult your doctor or something. Whatever it is you need to do to maintain safety during the show, because there are no safe spaces here, you know. Everything's on the table. Some side effects of listening to the show, bigger muscles, body hair, overall
deepening
manliness.
Deepening your Catholic faith.
Oh, I thought you were going to say voice, but that too.
More so than the voice.
Definitely.
Hopefully. I'm praying that that's the case.
So, that's the warning. You're warned. So, the three things that we do, we open a manly beverage, we discuss a manly item, and then we have a manly discussion.
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, tell us just briefly, real quick, for people who have just tuned in, this is the very first time they've ever listened, who's David Niles?
I am.
And who is David Niles?
I see what you're doing. I'm a dude. I'm going to be 30 this year.
What an old man.
Dude, don't even... You're older than I am by like a long time. You're way older than me.
Whatever.
So I have a daughter. She's going to be... Well, she was one. She turned one yesterday on Wednesday, the 20th. So that's exciting. It's actually kind of weird because I feel like she was just born. But my wife and I have another one on the way.
Congrats. You haven't made that announcement yet.
Well, it's announced.
Here it is. They're expecting again. So congratulations,
Thank
Dave.
You. Thank you. We're very excited.
Absolutely.
So I'm just pretty much a regular dude.
Yeah.
I work during the day.
Yeah.
I try not to during the evening.
And you're a Catholic?
I'm a Catholic.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Enough said. What about you?
So, I've been married since 2012 to Haley, my bride. We have two little boys, Luke and Jude. And I've been a Catholic my whole life. And I guess you could consider a revert Catholic. I guess you can probably consider both of us reverts.
Well... Yeah, I don't know. Revert, I think, means like you left for another faith tradition, which we didn't really do that. We just went to college.
Right. So maybe not revert, but we became stronger in our faith together.
We're renewed.
Dave and I...
Renewed Catholics,
right,
maybe.
If you guys are just tuning in, Dave and I are best friends. We have been since 5 years old, and we went down the same paths of a great Catholic family, fell away during college, lived together... Grew in our faith together at the same time.
Post college.
So anyway,
here we are.
And so here we are. And that's probably the sound right there of all the radios being turned off. So before we lose even our wives, let's move on to the man beverage.
The manly beverage today.
Yes.
Is a Basil Hayden. This is a bourbon. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe we'll give a little distinction about whiskey.
Sure.
There's three, maybe four types of whiskey, really. The most two common would be your scotch and then your bourbons. Then Irish whiskeys. That was the first episode. We had a great Irish whiskey.
Powers.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think I had that one before that episode. So that one was a lot of fun to get to drink. And then there's some Canadian whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Canadian. They make... Canadian whiskeys make a great whiskey and Coke.
Right.
You know?
The whiskeys that we get, or the manly beverages that we've had so far, like Dave said, was we've had an Irish whiskey, we've had a scotch, and so this time we're going with a bourbon.
Mm-hmm. So a scotch has to come from Scotland. It's sort of like champagne. If it doesn't come from the Champagne region of France, then it's sparkling wine.
Right.
But that's really the only difference. So scotch always comes from Scotland. Bourbon comes from Bourbon County, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not from Bourbon County, Tennessee, then it's an American whiskey. It's not called a bourbon.
Right. So, Dave, hit us up with the what we're drinking.
So, all right. Well,
pour us a glass. Tell us what it is.
So, this is Basil Hayden, I believe. It's an 8-year.
I think so.
It's a bourbons tend... Well, they are rye whiskeys.
Mm-hmm. So the first couple of whiskeys that we've had...
Let's try it. Cheers.
Cheers. We're on the Lord's team. The winning side.
So raise your glass.
It's
a toast to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So the first couple whiskeys that we've had were kind of more for introductory whiskey drinkers.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of graduating mm-hmm. to a more... whiskey that has a little bit more spice to it, a little bit more kick.
Yeah, so I wouldn't necessarily say that this whiskey's for everyone.
Right.
I tend to be a bourbon guy, really, myself. I tried to be a scotch guy because, you know, in the whiskey drinking crowd, it's cooler to be a scotch guy. Mm-hmm. All the cool guys are scotch guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like viewed as more refined. And I tried. And I like scotch, but at the end of the day, I just like bourbon more. That's just the way it is, you know.
Fair enough. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion.
I'm really sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm not mad. That's the good news.
Somebody is. There's somebody out there who's mad at me.
Somebody's offended. But you know what? We've already given our warning.
They were warned.
Yeah.
So this is a really good whiskey. I like this whiskey. To me, I'm picking up a lot of cinnamon.
Hmm.
And I was reading the tasting notes before the show started and before we opened it, and cinnamon wasn't on there anywhere, but it kind of reminds me of a fireball, especially the aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the official tasting notes are. So on the nose, before you drink a whiskey, you first want to smell it. So especially right. on your first sip, take a nice inhale and then sip as you hold that breath. To me, that
well, really that's
opens
what you're
up.
To
yeah, I mean that really opens up all the flavors. So on the nose, you get fruit, spice. Just says spice.
Yeah, that's, I don't get any fruit.
I don't smell any fruit, but whatever. Citrus, dark sweets. I don't know what that is. Vanilla and wood.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little wood to the nose.
So this one definitely has more rye than traditional bourbons.
It's got a lot of rye. I think almost twice, double the amount.
So, which is the trademark for this spicy finish. At the very end, it has this spicy finish to it.
Totally.
And it's attributed by more rye.
So the taste is oak, caramel, vanilla, baking spices, and then minerality.
Hmm.
I don't know that word. But, you know, these tasting notes, they get a little crazy sometimes.
Right.
And then the finish, this would be like the aftertaste. It's short. It doesn't really linger a whole lot. And the flavors are oak, leather, pepper, and dark sweets.
You can taste the pepper.
The pepper is, that to me is the most obvious.
So, Dave, in about 30 seconds, tell us, for the people who are just now tuning in, for the people who, this is the first time to ever listen to the Catholic Man Show, why are we drinking?
Because it's good. We drink to appreciate the fine things in life. We're not just drinking to catch a buzz.
Right.
We're drinking to enjoy some delicacies. And that's really what it's, you know, as a man, we want to appreciate fine things. And so that's what we're doing. And when we get back from the break, we'll appreciate more manly fine things.
Touching that dial is strictly prohibited. You're listening to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan, reminding you that we're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. We have two glasses here with us. Cheers.
Cheers.
To Jesus.
To Jesus. My man.
What a man.
Yeah.
Speaking of men, you know, my favorite quote about Jesus being man is from Pope St. John Paul II in Theology of the Body. He says, Christ reveals man to himself and makes his supreme calling clear. I have no idea what it means, but it sounds awesome. Just kidding. But really, this is a very good glass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it more and more as it goes along. At the beginning, I was a little bit unsure, but it's kind of settling in.
Mm-hmm. And so we're enjoying this. In moderation, which is a manly
very moderately,
which is a manly virtue.
Mm-hmm.
You should do everything in moderation.
I agree.
And so those who struggle with addictions, alcoholism, things like that,
we cannot recommend this whiskey.
Right, to you. However, knowing that those are your struggles and avoiding those temptations is applaudable and respectable,
and will help you grow in virtue.
And we salute you.
Yes,
for doing so.
You do. So, excellent. So, let's move on to the man item for the day.
Yes, and we still have not come up with a new phrase for the man item.
Except I blame the listeners. You know, we asked them.
You're right. I blame you guys. Because you guys.
Get with it.
Yeah. I mean, we can't carry everything here.
I mean. I'm getting tired.
As men, we have big backs. But we can't carry everything.
That's right. So let us know what you think a better term for the man item is.
Right. Go to our Facebook page. Let us know. Search The Catholic Man Show. Or you can go to our Twitter page, at The Catholic Man Show.
Mm-hmm.
Check
That's
us
right.
out. Let us know. Give us something. Because
we need it. We do. We need it.
We need it. And our creativity has been extinguished. Because the creativity of The Catholic Man Show, that's about...
Yeah, when I tell people, it's like, yeah, we have a show. They're like, what's it called? And I say, it's called The Catholic Man Show, because we're really creative.
Right. So we need help with the
You'll
man
never
item.
Guess what it's about.
Yeah. Okay, so the man item. This is actually my favorite man item that we've done to date.
Yeah, when we first started talking about doing a show, you mentioned that you wanted to do an episode with this as the man item.
The man item, yes. And you know, so our first man item was the Leatherman pocket knife.
Mm-hmm.
Our second man item was the suit.
Yeah.
Which both great man items.
Staples of
staples,
manhood.
Right.
Yeah.
But this one is, this man item is the staple of all staples. I don't know.
Certainly, at least for the Catholic man.
At least for the Catholic. It may be the pinnacle.
Tough to say. Could be, I don't know, the Eucharist. It's awfully manly.
Well, absolutely. But,
something so, let's just say it's way up there.
It's way, it's top five.
Sure. Okay. Sure. I'd give it top five.
So, the Catholic man item is...
The rosary!
The rosary. Guys, if you're not carrying around a rosary, it's time to start.
Yeah, I mean, it really is the weapon of choice, for me at least.
Well, I mean, St. Padre Pio said that the rosary is the spiritual weapon of choice.
Did he?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I need to read more about him. I mean, I know about him. I need to read more of his stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He really is very impressive. In fact, speaking of him and the rosary, I think, wasn't he able to pray the rosary all the time? Like, I think God gave him a grace to be able to continue praying the rosary even while he was doing other things.
That's a possibility. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that is the case. I'm willing to be corrected, but that's what I think.
Okay. So the rosary, there's many reasons why this is the man item this week. It kind of ties into our man discussion.
Yeah. So later on, we're going to be having a discussion about the roles of fatherhood in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those roles, one of the primary roles is prayer. You know, covering our family with graces from prayer. So the rosary really fits in well today. And as a man, every man needs to love his mother. Yep. If you don't love your mama, then I don't know.
St. Maximilian Kolbe said, never be afraid to love your mother, love the mother too much, because you can never love her as much as Christ did.
That's right. I'm just trying to love her that much, but right. I'm struggling.
Right, so the topic we're going to talk about, like Dave said, is the role of fatherhood the role of a husband and the role of a father.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, one of the main things is prayer. And you ask, how do I pray?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people who have grown up Catholic who hear Protestants who are able to just on the spot come up with this prayer that just sounds really good. And that's not something that is as common. It's just not practiced in the Catholic tradition very much. So there's a lot of people, I think, who are intimidated to pray. And the rosary is it's one of the most efficacious prayers.
Mm-hmm. Because it's two prayers in one.
That's true.
It's a vocal prayer,
mm-hmm.
and it's a meditative prayer.
You know, and I found a lot of Catholics don't really know that about the rosary, that they think, you know, you're supposed to sit there and really think about the words of each Hail Mary that you say. But when I say the rosary, I really don't think about the words at all.
Mm-hmm.
When I say the rosary, most of the time I'm distracted, just to be honest.
Right. Everybody struggles with that.
That's a constant battle for me.
Right.
But really, the idea of praying the rosary is meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We meditate. That's what the point of the mysteries are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to meditate on those mysteries. So, you know, whether it's the sorrowful and it's the last mystery, you know, which is Jesus is crucified, just meditating on him on the cross or whatever it is, the words of the Hail Mary, that's not what the rosary is about. It's about the mysteries. So,
yeah, I heard Archbishop Fulton Sheen, I believe this is who he was, I'm willing to be corrected, but he gave the analogy of when you're studying, right, and you have either the radio or the TV on in the background, you're not really listening to that radio or the TV, but you're studying.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same concept for the rosary. When you're praying and you're saying the words out loud, you're not really focusing on the words that you're saying as far as the specific words that are coming out. You're focusing and meditating on the Gospels is what it is.
That's an interesting analogy.
Yeah. So I kind of liked that.
Yeah, and when you think about it that way, it really makes the rosary a lot manlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about a woman. It's really about a man.
Right.
The rosary is.
And it's tough. It's hard to do. It's not easy. It doesn't come naturally, or it doesn't come easily. Meditating isn't something that's easy, at least for typically men who struggle with attention.
Yeah.
Being attentive, mm-hmm. ADD, ADHD.
Right.
People who are like that, you know, it's hard to meditate. And things that are tough, you know, and you push through, that's a manly thing to do.
Yeah, I kind of think, especially when it comes to prayer, I'm like the dog from the movie Up. You know, it's like, hi, my name is Brian, and squirrel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's me. And I'll catch myself being distracted in prayer and bring me back. It's like, all right, here we go. No, I'm going to focus on this mystery. And sometimes I think maybe I only get like 4 seconds before I am 100% distracted again,
mm-hmm.
which is, oh man, that is so frustrating. Who was it? I think you might know the answer to this question because I don't know. Who was it that said, even if all you do in prayer is bring your attention back to Christ, it's still...
I think it's St. Edmund.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Okay. Well, whenever I heard that for the first time, I was like, oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my prayers do mean something because that is all I do.
Right.
Every now and then, I'll just find myself in the right atmosphere, you know, in the right mood, and just like the stars are aligned, and I am able to actually... like pray with my heart, and those are cherished moments, but they are few and far between.
Yeah, there was this isn't my saying. I know that I've come across it somewhere, and I can't tell you who the author is or who said it, but it goes something like, the rosary is the prayerful process of forging sinners into saints. And I love that.
I'm gonna
quote.
Keep doing it then.
Yeah. Because it's a prayerful process of forging sinners into saints.
Hmm.
So there's many different ways of, when you're carrying a rosary, there's different ways that you can pray it. So you can pray the actual rosary,
mm-hmm.
5 decades of the rosary, the joyful, sorrowful, luminous, glorious mysteries. Joyful, luminous, sorrowful, glorious mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
You could also do the Divine Mercy Chaplet on the rosary.
And there's more than one kind of rosary. There's a 7 sorrows rosary.
Right.
I've
the
never
Franciscans?
Actually.
Is that the Franciscans?
Maybe. I've actually never prayed it, but mm-hmm. I know people who really like that one, and you actually meditate on the sorrows of Mary. So they just have slightly different mysteries, but even the sorrows of Mary really ultimately are about Christ. So
right.
It's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You can pray the Chaplet to St. Michael. There's a lot of prayers that are structured around the 10 prayer. In the 10 prayer format, you know, say mm-hmm. 10 of whatever prayers followed by one different prayer.
So I think that one of the easiest ways, at least for me, as I've gotten through this process of praying the rosary all the time, one of the best ways for me was to start with the Divine Mercy Chaplet because it's super easy.
And fast.
It's at 3 p.m., start the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's very easy. It's super fast.
It takes like 5 minutes.
Exactly. And then you can kind of graduate to praying the rosary and graduate to other things as well, using the rosary.
Right.
But this man item is...
It's ever so solid.
It's the spiritual warfare weapon.
Yeah, and we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back from the break, we're going to get the discussion really started about what is the role of a father in the family, what's his job, and how is that different from the mother. So
it's going to get intense.
It is. It's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. Hang with us through the break. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan with David Niles, and we are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. And we are enjoying a Basil Hayden's bourbon whiskey. We've talked a little bit about our man item, which we blame you guys for still using the word man item. But the awesome rosary. And now we're going to kind of put everything in context with our topic tonight. And normally this show, if you guys haven't been able to tell, which I know you have, this is a conversational show. Dave and I are just kind of talking and recording ourselves doing so.
Very low editing.
Very extreme.
Well, it's done on this show.
Well, because we don't really even know how to edit.
Yeah, barely.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
Barely. I can use Word.
Right. So, to put our conversation in context, we are going to read two Bible verses that is going to kind of form our conversation for this evening. The first one I'll go ahead and read is Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "Let every person be subordinate to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority opposes what God has appointed, and those who oppose it will bring judgment upon themselves." And we're going to take that verse and the verse that Dave's about to read, which is Ephesians 5.
Yeah, that's a very powerful verse right there. As men, I think authority just really resonates with us. I think we were made to be in touch with authority. I really do.
There's no question.
Yeah. So, and in fact, our conversation, just so that people know, is going to be about the authority of the father in the household and what does that mean spiritually for he and his family.
Right.
So I'm going to read Ephesians 5. This is a very, very famous verse. It's read at, seems like, almost every wedding. And it's also probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. If you were going to make a list of misunderstood verses, this would be on it for sure.
Absolutely.
So this is Ephesians 5, 21 through 29. It goes, "Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be submissive to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything to their husbands." And I think a lot of people, especially men, they'll stop there. See, I told you. You gotta make me a sandwich. I'm hungry.
Right, and the women are just cringing at this point.
Right, yeah, the hair on their neck is like standing up like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's in the Bible. But if you continue reading, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind, yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." So just before we really get into our discussion, let's break down that Bible verse, because like I said, it's so misunderstood.
Oh my goodness.
Because when you read it, it seems like, man, those wives, like, man, they've got to like do what their husbands say, and what if they have kind of a mean husband?
Right, but if you read it in context, what it's saying is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? But he gave his own life and laid it down for his bride, the church. So husbands, you are to do the same in imitating
Christ.
Well,
if you just look at the line, wives, be submissive to your husbands. If you look at the word submissive or submission, it means to be under the mission of.
Right.
Submission. So what is the mission of the man? And if you read on it, it tells you the mission of the man is to serve the wife. Really what this verse is saying is, wives, allow your husbands to serve you.
Right.
That is what it means to be under the mission of the man. The mission of the man is to serve his wife. And it just says, wives, allow this to happen. Be submissive to your husband in his mission.
And just as Christ serves his church, all authority comes from God, which is what Romans 13 says.
Yeah.
That the authority that is given to man was given because Christ was man, and Christ gave us this authority.
Yeah. I mean, the role of every man, especially husbands, well, no, not even especially husbands, every man, whether you're celibate, married, whatever your vocation, your job is to die for somebody. Now, in the family, in the married man, it's just very obvious who those somebodies are. The celibate, the priests, the other vocations, it's often less obvious, or at least it's less specific, because a priest has hundreds, thousands, you know, any number of parishioners, mm-hmm. much less people in his diocese.
I mean, Father Joe has like 1,800 people that he has to die for.
There's like 1,800 families,
I think. Yeah, 1,800 families. Yeah, you're right. So Father Joe.
Tons of people.
Father Joe, you got a lot going on.
I hope you got a lot of blood. but so for us, you know, Adam, you and I, we're both married. We have families. It's just very, you know, we know who it is that we're supposed to die for. Mm-hmm. So that's really what this Ephesians
and it's our vocation.
5 is saying. It is.
It's our vocation.
That's right.
It's what we said in front of God. We made the vow that we will now serve our wives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think every Catholic has heard this as a married man or a woman. Your job is to get your spouse to heaven.
Right.
Yeah, and I tell people that I have got it made in the shade. Like, if you've ever met Pamela, you know she's going to heaven.
Right.
Like,
same with Haley.
Yeah. So
I mean, our jobs are pretty easy.
Yeah, and especially now that she's married to me, like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
of all the sacrifices she's making on a daily basis.
We've cut our wife's purgatory time down.
I mean, I'm lactose intolerant. yeah,
so,
just think about it.
No, please don't. we don't claim to know everything. In the grand scheme of things, Dave and I are still, quote-unquote, probably newlyweds. I mean, I got married in 2012. Dave, what was yours, 2014?
Yeah.
2014. Mm-hmm. I put you on the spot, and you answered correctly.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. Good deal. So, I mean, we haven't been married an extremely long time.
Not a very long time.
Right. So, but from the research that we've done, you know, every Catholic man show, we have to do some research before we get on and talk.
It's true.
So, mm-hmm. Some of the research that we have, this is kind of what we found out. And some of the practices that we practice in our daily lives.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of shows, a lot of conversations, talks that people can go and listen to that, oh, what are good day-to-day practices for a father? And that's really not what we want to talk about today. We want to talk more about the spiritual side,
mm-hmm.
which really embraces the aspect of authority. Adam, in the verse that you read from Romans, that basically came out and said God's given authority, and everybody is under the authority of someone, and all that authority comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are denying that authority,
mm-hmm.
then you are denying authority of God.
That's
really what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it says right here, those who oppose it will bring judgment upon themselves.
So, for us as men, we are the head of our family.
Mm-hmm.
We're the head of our wives. We're the head of our children, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
We are the head. The woman is the heart.
Right.
So it's up to us. We have a responsibility to exercise that authority with virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we do that, the more we allow our family, our wives, and our children to grow in virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And it is up to us to be the spiritual protectors of our family. I think a lot of guys know, oh, yeah, I'm the physical. If someone comes in here at night, it's not up to my wife to go fight them, you know, to
right.
get them out of my house. That's my job.
Or you know, oh, it's my job to be the breadwinner. You know, it's my job to make sure that there's food on the table.
Right.
Those are kind of givens. Every man, you know, who
well, that one, I don't know if that last one's necessarily a given. I think maybe it used to be.
There's
but
millennials.
Yeah, dang it. But anyway, spiritually, men, we have a role to do. We
mm-hmm.
have a job that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. And by not fulfilling that role as the spiritual leaders of our family, we aren't just giving that job away to somebody else. It's just not going to be done. And so there's going to be a lacking in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Something will be missing. And that void will be filled by something that is not godly.
Right. And we'll have to answer for that.
That's right.
Because God gave us and told us that we are supposed to protect our family.
Mm-hmm. So, what does that mean?
Right. So, how does that work? Dave, so give us a couple examples.
Okay, so it is our job to pray for our family. We stand in front of them in the spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
By us not protecting our family spiritually through prayer, we open them up to the things that can harm them.
Right. So when the devil has to get to the family, they have to go through the...
They have to go through... Essentially, they have to go through the father...
First.
Before they can get to the family. Now, that doesn't mean that, oh, your kids won't sin...
Right.
If, you know, all you do... If you pray. Mm-hmm. That's not what it means. However, there are just spiritual graces and virtues that are brought to a family
mm-hmm.
from a pious, dedicated spiritual prayer life of the father.
I couldn't agree more. I think in order to live out the vocation of a father, of a husband, you have to pray for your family. You have to pray for them every single day without fail. Even when you're stressed out, when things aren't going well, when you're tired, you have to pray for your family. Even when you don't feel like it. I mean, I don't feel like taking this break, but we're going to have to. I hear the music. So Dave, go pick up something heavy, do some curls, and let's get ready for this next segment.
You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Cheers.
Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. I'm sorry if I sound out of breath. Through the break, I was literally picking up heavy things and setting them back down.
Some of those things looked heavy.
Yeah, it's doing very manly things.
I was just sitting here.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, I knew you had it. So, thanks for sticking with us through the break. I hope you enjoyed our commercials. We make all those commercials ourselves, so we're really proud of them.
So if you don't like them, don't tell us.
Yeah. But seriously, I am so thankful for all of our sponsors because they pay the bills, and the bills got to be paid.
That's right. So give some love to our sponsors. You can actually look at our sponsors at stmichaelradio.com.
Yeah, go to our website.
Yep. And
you
can,
there.
You can check out some of our sponsors because they're the ones that are keeping us on air.
That's right. So, we were talking about some practical things for men to do as fathers.
Mm-hmm. Husbands and fathers.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of them, which is why we picked the man item, is the rosary.
Right. Praying.
Yeah. So, every day offering all your actions, your family,
mm-hmm.
up to our mother. She will take very good care of them.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I know that you, and you may not like me telling everybody this, but I know that you, every week, Friday mornings, you have adoration in the morning that you
mm-hmm.
offer up for your family
mm-hmm.
Early in the morning before your work.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself is something that I admire and something that we all should do
yeah.
as men.
Yeah, you know, if you don't have an adoration hour, you got to ask yourself why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not allowed to say it because you're too busy. It's
no.
just... You're not too busy
right.
to go to adoration.
Especially because St. John's Hospital here in Tulsa, it has 24-hour adoration.
Yeah, and all the time, except during Good Friday.
Right.
Which there's no adoration on Good Friday.
So, literally every single day of the week.
Right, every hour of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's people...
Our
there.
Lord
so,
is
yeah,
exposed.
And so I have the 6 a.m. adoration hour on Friday. You guys are more than welcome to come join me. Me and my bro, Bill, we're holding down the fort. But anyway, adoration, it's in the answer to these questions, you know, what can we do to protect our family? The answers are simple. Frequent the sacraments,
mm-hmm.
daily regimen of prayer, examine your conscience at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
By living the virtuous life,
right.
we promote the virtuous life, not only in the realm of spiritual warfare, but just by setting that example for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And
I challenge all of our listeners, all of our man listeners here to, if you guys don't go to confession once a month and take your family to confession mm-hmm. once a month,
yeah,
I challenge you guys to start doing that.
Like be the first one into confession.
Yeah.
When you go with your family,
absolutely. Set the example.
Yeah. Your kids need to see that, oh, dad goes to confession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in there asking for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, that's what men do.
Right.
We're not perfect. But when we do make a mistake, you know, you got to take your medicine.
Right.
And, you know, take your lumps and go and you get yourself forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Making excuses, you know, that's lame.
Right. So I challenge all of our listeners to do that.
And another thing that I have just decided for myself, and when I got married, this is something that I decided, that if my kids learn nothing else from me, they will know that I love their mother. I have chosen to just be the kind of guy that is always showing affection, not inappropriately, but in front of my children and in front of my family, making it well known that the mother of this house is loved. The other thing is that there will be no greater sin in my house than talking back to your mother. My kids, you know, if they talk back to my wife, their mother, then they are in for it. Like, you just did a big thing right there. So the reason I've chosen to do that is because a man respects women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just women, but motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Respects you know, the person that you love. It shows what it means to love a woman. It shows my sons, if I am blessed to have any.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you love a woman. This is how you treat a woman. And it will show my daughter or daughters, this is how a man should treat you.
Right. When a man assumes the headship of a home, he must respect the inherent dignity of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be shown so that way the kids know this.
Mm-hmm. Sing it, brother.
So that's something that is something that's lacking in today's society.
Mm.
So something that I've taken up that's a sacrifice that I think that all men can do, and I know all men can do. If I'm doing it, any man can do it. It's called e5men.org.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever came up with it is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant group.
It was St. Paul.
Is that who it was?
Well, the E5 is for Ephesians 5.
Oh, I understand.
When a man loves a woman.
Okay, so that was another sound of all the radios turning off.
That one was for free, y'all.
Yeah. So going back to the Ephesians 5:28, you know, so husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it.
That line has always really struck me, that love his wife as his own body.
Mm-hmm.
That is hard.
That is super hard.
Oh, man, like, when you're hungry,
mm-hmm.
you and your wife are hungry, like, thinking about their hunger as being the same as your hunger.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, forget that. Like, I'm hungry
I'm
over here.
I'm starving over here.
She doesn't eat as much as I do. You know, she just needs a few bites. But that's not what we're supposed to do.
No.
But, and I think when I thought about that passage with literal, like, involving all the senses,
mm-hmm.
it just became like, oh, man, that sounds really tough. But
yeah.
You got to do it.
So E5 Men, what it is a group of internet group that the first Wednesday of every month,
mm-hmm.
The men of the head of the household, the men sacrifice and only eat, go through a bread and water sacrifice
mm-hmm.
for the whole day. So you're allowed to eat bread, you're allowed to drink water, but that's it. And it's not actually just for married men. It's for single men as well. In fact, I know
men.
It's for all men. In fact, I know our buddy Michael Sabbath, he does this with
and
us.
And Chad McAuliffe.
And, well, Chad McAuliffe is married. But
well, right, but he does it.
Yeah, he does it. But Michael Sabbath, who's not married, does it as well. And he does it for his future wife, which
mm-hmm.
is super admirable. Like, that's that guy, he is well ahead of his time. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Is he? Or is he really where just he's supposed to be? I think the time is just way behind
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
That's probably more accurate.
But way to go, Mike.
Yeah,
Michael.
Michael, you're awesome, man. Much love. But so by making the sacrifice for the women in our lives, we live out the essence of the gospel through a very particular self-sacrifice, an act that is extremely self-sacrifice, because I don't know if you guys have ever done it before, but
it's
very tough.
And the saints hold, of all of the types of fasting, the bread and water fast, mm-hmm. I forget which one of the saints it is, but mm-hmm. Several of them really have held that up as being a very, very effective fast.
Right, and to lay down one's body out of love is another, is the essential message of the gospel.
Right, it's one way that we die.
So, anyway, that I hope that gives you guys a couple ways to live this out in an everyday life.
If you have other suggestions that we didn't mention on air, and there are many,
right,
please post them on our Facebook page. We want to know what your favorite way is
mm-hmm.
of praying for your future wife, for your wife, for your family.
Mm-hmm.
Share that with us, because, you know, when you share it with us, we can share it with other people, and that'll really help get good ideas spread, because, you know, we all have different schedules, different lifestyles, and not everything works. You know, if you're a bodybuilder, the bread and water fast, you just really can't do that mm-hmm. because that's how you earn a living,
right?
Possibly. So that's just an example of why one thing might not work for everybody. So help us share these ideas
mm-hmm.
so that
iron sharpens iron.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, that way we can all try to find something that is a good sacrifice for us that fits into our life. And
mm-hmm. Dude, this has been so fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is a topic that
I talk about this all the time if I could.
Yeah. This is a topic that both you and I are extremely passionate about. Every Catholic man should be passionate about it. So I know this speaks to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But so check us out on our Facebook page. Check us out on our Twitter page. Let us know what you think. You guys need to tell us what to do about the man item. Like, I'm serious, guys.
Yeah. Like, you keep saying it and it just, I don't like it.
This has been a lot of fun.
You know what? Why don't you use the man item for today, listeners?
Right.
And pray about it for us.
That's right. Because
so
it's the rosary.
Yeah, and I'm sure a good idea will come to you and share it with us again. Because
mm-hmm.
we need it.
Yep.
You know, we need a better word.
Yep, and so we've enjoyed Basil Hayden's bourbon whiskey.
Indeed.
It's grown on me.
Big time.
It's definitely
really
grown on me. But anyway, the rosary, you guys need to pray it. We're all part of the body of Christ, and you've been listening to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Mann and David Niles.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
All right, guys, have a good week.